proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. Bill Winston Ministries is bringing lost souls to Jesus Christ and teaching them how to walk in a victorious life. We invite you to receive all the blessings that God has for your life. Bill Winston Ministries presents The Believer's Walk of Faith.
Hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. We have another powerful teaching today. We're teaching on revelation of royalty. Now, this teaching, we're talking about how God has placed the church in the world to be the strongest influence in the world. Now, you and I and all the other people in the earth are gifted. Gifted at something. Somebody plays a piano, somebody does sports, somebody works in legal, somebody does medicine, whatever it is, you're gifted at something. Well, God's people have an endowment on that gifting. It's called an anointing. Now, it raised us up just like it raised Daniel up in the three Hebrews to be 10 times better than the people in the world. You see, the world is in darkness and they need to be led out. You and I are the light of the world. We come to really provide leadership for a dark world. Now, you need to listen to this today because we're really talking about who you are and what you have and what God is expecting you to do. This teaching is something that the body of Christ needs. Why? Because a lot of us have come into the body of Christ, but we're still thinking those old thoughts that we had before we got born again. Folks, we have a divine nature now. That takes us up to a whole nother dimension. God wants you to walk in that. So let's get faith to walk in it by watching this teaching right here. Let's go into it. It's called Revelation of Royalty. And let's go back to Psalms and Psalms chapter 24. Psalms chapter 24. Look at verse 1. The earth is the who? Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that what? Dwell therein. Now, let's go to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. I want you to see this now. This is very important. Because God's got some things for you. But if your image of you is not right, you'll speak out of that image. You'll end up blocking the way to your own blessing. And remember what we said? Is there no king in you? Remember what we said? That you are royalty? That a king speaks a certain way? Look what it says here in Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine. This is God talking. And the cattle upon 1,000 hills, I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. For the world, come on, is mine. Keep going. And the fullness thereof. Woo! Wow. So now we see who the world belongs to. Doesn't belong to the devil. See, even though he's loose up in here, and not in here, but out there. This is important now, because I'm telling you what belongs to the Lord. Let's go to Haggai and chapter 2, please. Haggai chapter 2. Look what it said in verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while, and I'll shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I'll shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with what? Glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is whose? Mine. And the gold is whose? Mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. And then he said, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Now, this tells me that the devil doesn't own anything. Let's keep going. Let's go to Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 1, please. All the way back by the book, close to the book of Revelation. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his who? Son, whom he hath appointed, come on, heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now, in the Charles B. Williams translation, it doesn't say that he was appointed heir of all things. He said, Jesus was made the lawful owner of everything. Jesus was made the lawful owner of everything. Go with me? Now, what does that have to do with me? I'm telling you how God sees you. Let's go to Romans and find out what that has to do with you. Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the who of God, sons of God. Now, here's what I want you to deal, because we're talking about this heir, as long as he's a child, differs nothing from a slave, though he be Lord of all. This verse says with further clarity that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, we're not talking exactly about your gender there. We're talking about another Greek word which has to do with your maturity or maturity. You got what I'm saying? So those who are mature are led by God. See? Are you following what I'm saying? See, Adam in the beginning was led by God. And those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the mature children of God. Call them sons. You got what I'm saying? So God, I'm just saying that now because, folks, let me tell you something. You can sow a seed and God will give you a harvest. But if you don't hear God, you many times don't know where to go gather it up. You follow what I'm saying? Because sometimes the harvest, he doesn't leave it exposed, because if he leaves it exposed, the devil will see it. Or he'll have somebody to come in and grab it. Sometimes he leads you to where your harvest is. Here I was here, and somebody wrote me and said they wanted me to come preach in another place. Now, my wife and I had sold a car. We had sold, somebody needed a car. We sold our car, one of our cars. It was a Nissan. We sold it, good shape, so forth. It wasn't no trap, wasn't no junk. You can say amen, somebody. And so forth. Now, okay, so somebody wrote and wanted me to come preach at their church and so forth. Well, I was busy. That was doing a busy time. And I said, I don't think I'm going to have time to do that. But I went to bed that night, woke up, Spirit of God said, I want you to go preach to that church. Oh, whoa, okay. So I called them, wrote them back, told them I'd come, we got together on time. I went to preach. So I preached the first night, and then the next night I preached on the wealth transfer. And then I sat down. After I sat down, then the preacher got up and said, God is telling me, brought his wife up, to give Pastor Winston our car, to sow it into his life. Now, I'm thinking that it might be a 1976 Nova. That's just him, I'm told what. Okay, now hold it now. I'm talking about what my mind played games on. But then he came and brought me out there, outdoors, gave me the key, or was giving me the key, or whatever, and it was a Mercedes, a big Mercedes. Now, hold it. For me to get my harvest, I had to be led by the Spirit of God. Are you following what I'm saying? Because God has a way of hiding it somewhere where you can just go and gather it up. But you follow what I'm saying? All right, let's just keep going. Folks, it's everything. Here's a man who was having problems with his health, and the Spirit of God spoke to him because the doctors couldn't find nothing wrong, and the Spirit of God told him, stop drinking coffee. Now, I'm not talking to you. That ain't the Spirit of God talking to you. That's me talking to you. I'm drinking coffee. And when he told him that, he backed off of that coffee and that thing cleared up. The Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is talking right now to you. I'm telling you. See, his job is to lead you into the promised land. His job is to take you in. But the dullness of spirit, walking by the flesh, that's why they came out of there. They came out of a fleshly existence. And the wilderness was a transition place to transition them off the flesh onto the spirit. Okay. Going down. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the who of God, children of God. Spirit of adoption. Now, when he says adoption, he doesn't mean adopt like you've seen or heard the word means in the environments perhaps that you came from. Here's a person, and they're going to adopt a child. Let's say a child is from one of the other nations, nation of India or Africa, whatever. So that I'm going to adopt a child, and so forth, or down the street. I'm going to adopt this child. What does it mean? The child doesn't belong to your family. You're going to bring the child in and have the child to be treated just as a child from your family. That's adoption. But this adoption is different. This adoption has to do with moving from one stage of maturity in your own existence, in your own family, into another level. And it's called adoption. And that there is a ceremony for that. But in the Greek, I forgot the name of the Greek, but there's something that operates teaching that person who is immature called a pedagogue. And that person, that teacher would teach that immature person up to a certain point. And the Jews have something called bar mitzvah. Have you ever heard of that before? Okay, that's the coming out. That's when that person receives maturity and is now able to handle responsibility. Now, are you with me here? So when I'm adopting, I'm talking about moving from one state of existence or maturity to another state of maturity where now I can handle the estate. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying that because as long as you're a child, then you can't handle it. It won't be given. You can't get in there because it's almost like it's like a mind of a slave. So my point to you is God sees you a certain way, and he wants you to grow up so you'll be able to handle this estate called the earth that God's turning over to you for you to run it. Say amen to this. Okay? And we go on down here, verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Oh yeah, Abba Father. Abba Father, Abba is an endearment term. It has to do, our Western way of saying that is daddy. Daddy. I can always tell when my kids want something, they call me, daddy. I can tell, that means something is coming right there. That means get your wallet ready, the thumb is coming. Now, my point to you is that this is daddy. God becomes daddy to us. He becomes our supplier. He becomes our healer. He's a father. Now we go on down, verse 17, and if children, then who? Heirs. Heirs of who? God. And what else? And joint heirs with Christ. Now joint heirs doesn't mean that he get 50 and you get 50. Joint heirs means is that both of you get 100. That what he gets, you get. Say amen to that. And he has inherited everything. He is the owner of the whole estate, but he just didn't get it for him. He got it for you. All right? Now, for us to move in there, we are going to have the image of God. We're going to have to see ourselves as God sees us. Now, that's what I've been working on called revelation of royalty. Because that's the way God sees you. He sees you in the God class. The Bible says God, the Lord, is a king. But he's the king of who? Kings. He's the Lord of who? Lords. You are the seed of who? Abraham. And I'm talking about the same things that God promised Abraham, he has promised you. Say amen to that. The same things that Jesus got back, he got back for you. He got your healing back. He got your victory back. He got your dignity back. He got your, come on, deliverance back. Everything, he did it all. So all you have to do is walk into it. All right, you with me? Now, so to know who you are brings you into what you have. That sounds like a very, very simple statement, but it's very, very profound. All right. Babylon is out to impoverish the church. Now, I spoke about that last time, didn't I? All right. Babylon is out to try to take the resources out of the church and keep the church poor, try to make the church seem weak, useless, hypocritical, needy, trying to see and project the church as not part of the solution, but part of the problem. When the church's purpose is to take over rulership of the world, that the church is the most powerful institution of the world ever. All right. Now, I said some things to you. According to Daniel chapter 1, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon went down and took Judah captive, children of God. But he took only officers, fighting men and women, craftsmen, good-looking, promising people, those of nobility, those who are able to contribute to him moving Babylon forward. He took those. He left the rest. And his idea is to keep the church from gaining momentum. And he tries to keep even times of teaching the word. People have come in and created miseducation of the word of God. They have come in and taught something that God didn't even say. Now, all this is something to keep God's people from carrying out their assignment. So the enemy does that. But we said something about it. That God, on purpose, plants people of the church into the world. Why? Because he's going to raise them up to be the strongest influence in the world. Because God is not going to only provide leadership for the world, but he's going to dismantle the system that's holding the people of the world. Now, there's a lot I'm talking about now. So when we come into the church, we're training for reigning. And so now, those who he plants in the church, stay with me now, please. Those who he plants in Babylon, what we saw with Daniel in Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, is that the Hebrews and Daniel, once they got in Babylon, were compared with Nebuchadnezzar's people, and they were 10 times better than all Nebuchadnezzar's folks. Now, this doesn't mean that they have skills and you have skills. It means that, Lord, can I just talk, because I got to get this out. They have been to the finest university. Fine. Well, it could be that so have you, some of those who he picked. But they were 10 times better. Now, what made the difference? The anointing. God is going to drop a little super on your natural. He is looking for you to get a reputation in that company, in that community, as the problem solver. Now, you notice when the problem came to Daniel in Daniel chapter 2, where Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he asked his people, what did he dream and what did it mean? They said, well, what did you dream? Tell us what you dream. I'll tell you what it meant. He said, if you're so smart, you tell me what I dream, because I forgot what I dreamed, but I can't hardly sleep anymore because of what I dream. And they said, well, we can't tell you what the dream means until you tell us what you dream. He said, well, you're so smart, you tell me what I dream. And then they said, nobody can do that. And he said, well, I'm going to cut everybody's head off that's around me and so forth. Well, Daniel and them heard about it, and Daniel said, well, tell the king we can handle it. Now, Daniel had nothing to go on except faith. But he knew that the God of heaven and earth knows what you dream, what it means, and even can author the dream. So what did he do? He went back, and that night God gave him a dream and showed him what the king dreamed, and then he came to the king, told the king what he dreamed. Not only that, told the king what to do, so forth and so on. Are you with me what I'm saying here? Now, the anointing. So the anointing, which is on your life, is not only a burden remover and a yoke destroyer, but it is an endowment on your gifting to make you 10 times better than the people that you're working around, so that God can raise you up so that you can provide leadership for a dark world.
Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoyed that teaching. Now, that's called Revelation of Royalty. Now, in this teaching, we bring out that whatever Jesus Christ gets, we got. In other words, when he was raised from the dead, God saw us raised from the dead. When he was seated at the right hand of the Father, God seated us at the right hand of the Father. He got peace. We got peace. He got joy. We got joy. He got the name. We've got the name. Praise the Lord. Now, also, he defeated Satan in open combat and took back everything he stole from Adam. So legally, technically, it's all ours. And so the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 21, it says, all things are yours. You see, these things in the earth, God has now placed back into the hands of his people, of his family. But now we have to receive it all by faith. And faith comes one way, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as you get this teaching and you play it over and over again, now you're hearing the word of God. And when you do, faith is coming. What is faith going to do? Faith reaches out and takes what belongs to you so that you can have it in your life. Praise the Lord. You want to get this series of teachings. It is powerful. It's called Revelation of Royalty. Now, the address and phone number are on your screen. I want you to order it right away. We're not just trying to sell tapes, folks. We want to get this word into your life. because the body of Christ must move into position that God has already planned for us. He said the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So this teaching is designed to change that image, how you see yourself, what you see as yours, how to get it, so forth and so on, so that you can act on God's word and you'll never be broke another day in your life. It's a powerful teaching. Order it today. Guaranteed you will be satisfied. Well, this is Bill Winston saying we love you and we'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
Once you received Jesus as the Lord of your life, you were engrafted into God's royal family. You are a child of the King, and the authority of the kingdom is within you. Before you can exercise your kingship, you must have a revelation of your royalty.
If you know your royalty, and you know how a king or royalty is supposed to act, it will affect your behavior.
In this new series by Dr. Bill Winston, you'll learn that you are a speaking spirit, and everything in the universe must adjust itself to accommodate the words you speak.
You got to believe that what you speak is going to come to pass. Say amen to that, and you will have what you say.
Order Revelation of Royalty Volume 2, There's a King in You, today, and Dr. Winston will explain why the church is designed to be the most powerful institution on this earth, why God created you to be a creative being, why you cannot rise any higher than your confession, and much more.
So now we're going to start talking to stuff. We're going to start talking out of our spirit, not out of our mind. We're going to get the word of God in here and speak it out. If he said, let the poor say I'm rich, start saying I'm rich.
To order your copy of Revelation of Royalty Volume 2, There's a King in You, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303. By bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.bwm.org. Make no mistake about it, there's a king in you. Order your copy of this powerful series, Revelation of Royalty, Volume 2, today. While in the Chicagoland area, Pastor Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center. We're located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois, just 20 minutes from downtown Chicago. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We have Spanish translators and sign language for the hearing impaired. A warm seat awaits you at Living Word Christian Center. For more information, please call 708-697-5000. Today's message is available in its entirety on CD or DVD when you use the product number on your screen by writing to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.bwm.org. Next week on The Believer's Walk of Faith.
A peace comes on you, folks, when you know you ain't fearing nobody. And here's the thing about it that a lot of people don't realize. When no fear is there, only faith is left. And when faith is there, you can hear God so clear, just like you hearing me right now.